Continue. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 7. We talking about Hebrews chapter 11, and it talks, actually the last three chapters talk about how to apply our faith. First 10 chapters about our faith ought to be in Jesus Christ. He's the superior everything. He's better than anything. And Jesus is better is the overall theme of this, but chapter 11, the great faith chapter, and we've looked at Abel, and we've looked at Enoch. Abel's faith was illustrated or demonstrated by his worship, and Enoch's faith was demonstrated by his walk. And now we come to Noah. Familiar story, familiar account for most of us, if not all of us. A man whose faith was illustrated by his work. And the order in which these men were presented is not by accident. I mean, you got to worship God before you can walk with him. And you got to walk with him before you can work for him. I mean, if you're not with him, how can you work where he's working? Unless you're with him. And title of the message is To Witness While You Work. Every time I say that, it makes me want to whistle. You know? Whistle while you work. Only I can't really whistle that all that well. But witness while we work. It's fitting that at this time we examine the faithfulness of Noah. And he was a faithful man. The verse says, by faith, Noah, after he was warned about what was not yet seen, and motivated by godly fear, built an ark to deliver his family. By faith, he condemned the world and became an heir of the righteousness that comes by faith. It's interesting, this verse. It starts by faith and it ends by faith. And everything does start and end with faith. I heard it said recently, radio or somewhere, but it was interesting to me. And it says it's easy to start with faith, and it's easy to have faith at the end. The hard part's having faith in the middle. You know, when we accept the Lord, it's by faith, and we're excited. Wow, you know, forgiven. My sins are forgiven. No longer going to hell. I'm on my way to heaven because of my faith in Jesus Christ. And then at the end, when maybe we anticipate our last breath, we're like, wow, you know, looking forward to that moment in glory when I shed this broken down body and I get the new one. You know, good to have faith then, but you know, the middle is when it's tough. When the trials are coming, the adversity is there, the hard times are there. That's when faith gets tested. And we see these great examples in Hebrews chapter 11 of men and women whose faith was tested. And we have this example of the faithfulness of Noah. And so we're going to look at things. I got five points here, more or less. And five things out of this one verse. And so we have, first of all, that Noah was warned. Noah was warned. By faith, Noah, after he was warned about what was not yet seen. And Noah walked with God in the midst of a wicked world. You got to understand what was it like? You know, and here's Noah, and the Bible, we're going to see a verse later on that says he was a preacher of righteousness. So here's this guy, he's preaching truth in a world that was so wicked that God decided to destroy it. It was that wicked. And yet Noah walked with God in the midst of a wicked world. And in fact, we know that only 8 people got saved from that world, right? 8 people. And so when we think it's really bad, and you know, I'm not trying to diminish our culture or the culture of this world and the problems that it has. But we got a lot more than eight people in this room that are here to encourage us, and we can encourage one another, and we know we're not alone. But you think about Noah, and you know, and I guess, you know, his dad was a godly man too, so there was probably a few others. I mean, his dad died before the flood. And so here we have a man that's virtually outside of his own family. There's not a whole lot of good going on in the world. And yet he walked with God. And he was warned. And it says he was warned about what was not yet seen. Can you imagine? I mean, you know, like when someone says, hey, be careful. Something there, you know, could play with, it's 4th of July, don't play with fireworks, you can get burned. Well, but we've seen fireworks. We know that fireworks can cause injury. You know, we've seen that. But how would you like to be warned of something that's never been seen before? What kind of faith? And, you know, we all test it, right? A small child, I remember, you know, back when our kids were little, you have those Christmas trees with those bulbs that are that big, and they're about 500,000 degrees, you know, I mean, they're super hot, and not like the nice, cool LED bulbs we have today, you know, but you tell a child, you know, that first Christmas, you might have a two-year-old kid, and they've never seen that before, and you tell them, don't touch it, it's hot, you warn them, but they've never seen it before. So what do they got to do? Right? Ah! Duh, told you. Right? And that, but Noah, you know, God says, I'm going to flood this. I'm going to destroy this world and everything in it with rain. With water like you've never seen. And Noah had to believe him. You know, Noah couldn't reach out and touch. Hey, don't touch the bulb. It's hot. Kid touches it. Okay, I'm convinced. Right? Noah didn't have that advantage. He either had to choose to believe it or not. He was warned. He was warned. And yet he remained faithful. He was warned of something that had never been seen before, yet he remained faithful. Just as Noah was warned, but didn't know when, or really may not have really understood all of what God was saying, he remained faithful. And you know what? So must we. We've never seen judgment like what God's going to bring. Jesus is going to return. There is going to be judgment on earth. We've not seen it. No one here has seen hell. You may think you have, but you haven't. Now, concerning that day and hour, no one knows. Neither the angels in heaven nor the Son. That blows me away that Jesus didn't know either. You got to understand, Jesus limited himself. God limited himself. You got to remember that when you're looking at Jesus. Can God really die? No, but Jesus died. He limited himself. He became us. And neither the angels in heaven nor the Son, except the Father only. And he brings it up specifically, as the days of Noah were, so the coming of the Son of Man will be. For in those days before the flood, they were eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage, until the day Noah boarded the ark. Right up to the very end, they're doing the stuff they're doing. Everyday life. What are you going to have for dinner tonight? You know? Hey, I'm planning a wedding. My daughter's getting married. My son's getting married. They were doing all these things. And yet, judgment was coming. And they didn't know until the flood came and swept them all away. Swept them all away. Noah was warned, and you know what? We've been warned. We've been warned. Son of Man is coming. Jesus is returning. There's only a certain period of time that people can accept the Lord. And then the books will be closed. And you're either in the ark or you're not. You know, the ark is a picture of that. God shut the door. God shut the door. Read it in Genesis. Door was open. Animals went in. Noah and his family went in. And they sat there for, I believe it was 7 days. With the door open. Anybody that could have gone in, could have gone in. Anybody that would have gone in, could have got in. And then the Bible says, God closed the door. And there's going to be a day. Because judgment is coming. God's going to close the door. And either you're in or you're out. And that's the warning, folks. Just as Noah was warned, so we have been warned. And as Noah was faithful, so we must be faithful. Noah was warned. Secondly, Noah believed. By faith, Noah, after he was warned about what was not yet seen, and motivated by godly fear. You know, if he didn't really believe, he wouldn't have feared. You know, if somebody says the light bulb is hot, but the child doesn't really believe until he touches it, and then he becomes a believer. And Noah believed what God said to him. God said, I'm going to bring a flood like you've never seen. And I have decided to destroy all life, not just mankind, but all the plant life, all the animal life. For some reason, the fish didn't matter. But I'm going to destroy everything else. And Noah was motivated by godly fear. I have a question. Are you motivated by godly fear? Do you have godly fear? Really? We like to say we do. But do we really understand what God is warning us about? God told him of things to come that had never been before seen. But Noah believed. And just as Noah believed it would happen, so must we. Do you really believe there's judgment? Do you really believe Christ is returning? I mean, I know intellectually we do. But do our actions reflect that we believe it? These are the family records of Noah. Noah was a righteous man, blameless among his contemporaries. Noah walked with God. And Noah did everything that the Lord commanded him. Remember, I've said it before, I'll say it again. You do what you believe. You do what you believe. And Noah did everything he was commanded. Why? Because he believed God. He believed God. And, you know, we go through life so often. I mean, hey, listen, there's more to life. I understand that. You know, I don't think we're to walk around just fearful that the judgment's going to be here any second, which it could be. And I don't mean fearful in that way, but are we intentional? Are we cognizant of that fact so that when we do have the opportunity to talk to someone, we do. We actually do speak. We actually say, hey, you know, how you doing with God? You have a relationship with God. You got all these issues in your life. Have you talked to God about them? You know, get an opening door, an open conversation going where you can share the gospel. You know, that's what this Saturday is about. You know, we're celebrating freedom, but it's a faith and freedom festival. And the true freedom, whom the Son sets free, is free indeed, folks. That's true freedom. And we have an opportunity to share. We have an opportunity to shed some light on some people. And you know, many of you are signed up, and that's great. And we're going to be working, and we're going to meet here, and we're going to gather all the stuff up, and we're going to go out there, and it's going to be hot, and we're going to be complaining. You know, why wasn't Independence Day like in March? You know, I mean, what were the founding fathers thinking? It's summer, man. But while we're doing all that work, why are you working? Why are we going to set all this stuff up? Why are we going to go to all this trouble and have all these booths and do all these things? And if not to share the gospel, it really is all for nothing. If you don't, you can be busy here, you know, and I don't know, a lot of you have jobs here. You know, you have responsibilities, you have areas of service, and that's great. I mean, we need it. It's all part of the worship experience. It's all about having an inviting place for people to come and hear truth. But if we don't share the gospel, if we don't live it, what's the point? What's the point? What's the point of working without the witness? Noah believed. And just as he believed it would happen, we got to believe it's coming, folks. And like I say, we say it, and I know as Christians, you know, Jesus is coming. You see signs. He's coming. That's the warning. But do you believe it? Do you live it like it's really coming? You know, there's a dichotomy of difference of opinion on how long it took Noah to build the ark. You know, if you read the scripture carefully, when God first mentions, "I'm going to destroy the earth," he says, "in 120 years. And then in another verse after that, he says, "Then he went to Noah." We really don't know. We really don't know the time that God told Noah. And even if God did tell Noah that same day, we don't know exactly when Noah began to build. Some people think he worked on the ark 120 years. And we know how big the ark is. I mean, it's huge. Have you ever seen the picture of the one they made in Kentucky? I mean, look it up online. I mean, that thing is incredible. And, I mean, when you think about it, he must have hired people or something. I mean, you know, I don't care if they thought he was crazy. Hey, if he's paying good money, I'll build the boat. I don't care what he does, right? I mean, whether you believe or not, right? Hey, it's a job. But, you know, some people think it took him 5 years. Some people say he worked on 120 years. But regardless of 5 years or 120 years, there was faith there, folks. And he was working. And at the same time, he was preaching. And he believed and he acted on his belief. And so the question for us is, are we? And that really brings us to this one. Noah worked. Noah worked. By faith, Noah, after he was warned about what was not yet seen, he was motivated by godly fear. He built an ark to deliver his family. He built an ark. God gave Noah an assignment. Build the ark. Judgment is coming. Make yourself an ark of gopher wood. You know, we don't really know what gopher wood is. Some people think it's cypress because that's a really heavy wood that's good in water, you know, that kind of thing. But we really don't know what it is. Make rooms in the ark and cover it with pitch inside and outside. Make yourself an ark. Judgment is coming. And it's interesting. He uses this word pitch. And we think, okay, yeah, got to make it waterproof. Pitch. But you know what that word is? It's the same word as atonement. The Bible uses that word for the word atonement. Isn't that crazy? Just as pitch kept the waters of judgment from entering the ark, so Christ's atoning blood keeps judgment from the sinner. Inside and out, folks. Because he doesn't just seal you on the outside, does he? He gets you on the inside, too. We're cleansed, and we're not just clean on the outside. You know, the Pharisees looked pretty good on the outside, but Jesus said they were dead on the inside. They stunk on the inside. He said that it's the inside that defiles you. And I find it interesting. He says, cover it inside and outside with atonement. And when Jesus saves you, he saves you totally. He cleans up your inside and he cleans up your outside. That's why your behaviors change. That's why things change. You know, he cleans you up on the, you know, that's why you can't force somebody to be good, because good only comes from the inside. Yeah, you can make a child obey. You can make a person obey either through your authority or intimidation or threats or whatever, but they're not obeying on the inside. You can tell a child, sit down, and you can make him sit down, and he'll go, well, I'm sitting down on the outside, but I'm standing up on the inside. But God says, you know what? I'll save you, and I'll do a work in you, and because of what I'm doing in you, you'll do different outside. And that's a real sign of salvation. It's a real sign of God having done something in you, because your want to's change. You know, I know a guy, I've spoken of him before. I tell him, you need to get saved. And he says, well, that means I have to quit drinking my beer. That's his reasoning. That's it. Hey, I believe in God, but I can't do that because I have to quit drinking my beer. And I like my beer. And I tell him, you don't have to quit drinking your beer, man. Drink it all you want. But I believe it'll change your want to's if it's really a genuine. It changes what you want to do. And then you don't feel like you're missing anything. Because I don't want to do that anymore. So I don't miss it. You only miss the things you want. You don't miss things, you know. And that's the beauty. That's the beauty of what God does when he works inside a person. Changes your want-tos. And then he also changes, you know, and then you want to do things you would never do before and you actually enjoy it. Why? Because you want to. But that word pitch, that is just crazy. God's assignments don't always make sense to us. Do you think that made... Can you imagine Noah? Build a boat 450 feet long. 150 feet wide and 100 and something feet tall. What? And you know, how? And so he builds it. How's he going to get it in the water? You know? You know what I mean? I mean, because in our logic, well, I would have to build the boat somewhere. I mean, but man, what body of water did they have then that was that big even? I mean, I don't know. I mean, we don't really know what the world looked like then. But, I mean, God's assignments don't always make sense to us. He probably, when he first heard those dimensions, he probably sat down, how am I going to do that? But you know what? It's extremely important that we do what God says. Just as Noah completed a huge seemingly unnecessary. I mean, just logically speaking, who needs a boat that big? And close to impossible task to be obedient to God because of his faith in God, he did. And so must we. You know, sometimes God seems like he asks you something impossible. Hey, man, we're going to have this festival on Saturday at 6 o'clock. It's probably going to be 197 degrees. And it is impossible for me to live for 4 hours in that environment. And nobody's going to show up anyway. And even if they do, they're not going to be interested. But you know what? So what if nobody comes? Because you know what? Nobody came to the ark, did they? So what if nobody comes? If that really happens, I don't know. I mean, it's going to be interesting. I'm interested. I'm going just because I want to see what happens. If for no other reason. I mean, I got other things to do, but... But I mean, if for no other reason, I will be there just to see what happens. Have a little faith. Be obedient and see what God does. Because really, if anything happens Saturday, it's going to be all God. I mean, we can put up all the booths we want, you know, if God doesn't show up. Right? So Noah worked. And we need to work. We're supposed to be like God, right? Jesus, man, he was a busy dude. I mean, he was busy. Man, he was day to night, right? And then he'd pull away and he'd pray all night. I don't know when the guy slept. I mean, he got on the boat and slept. I mean, he was exhausted, right? Storm. He's sleeping like a rock. He was busy, and we're supposed to be like him. He worked. And you know what? Noah witnessed. Noah witnessed. By faith, Noah, after he was warned about what was not yet seen, and motivated by godly fear, he built an ark to deliver his family. This is crazy. By faith, he condemned the world. That's a funny way to put things, isn't it? Like, what? Noah condemned them? I thought God condemned the world. Well, yeah, God did. He did. While Noah worked, he warned others of impending judgment. 2 Peter. And if he didn't spare the ancient world, he's talking about God. Peter was talking about God. God did not spare the ancient world, but he did protect Noah, a preacher of righteousness. Noah was a preacher of righteousness. He wasn't just building an ark. You know, Noah just wasn't sitting there at his house every day, eating dinner and everything, and talking with his sons and daughter-in-laws and his wife, and then getting up the next day and working on the ark, and then going home at the end of the day and eat another meal, and then get up in the morning, have breakfast, and go back out. He was preaching. He was a preacher of righteousness. I am sure while he was building the ark, many came by to see. Wouldn't you? I mean, you know, if somebody starts building, there's an empty lot down here, and starts building a boat 450 feet long, and they're working on it for at least 5 years, maybe 100 years. At some point, you see them out there working. Wouldn't you pull over and go, "What in the world are you doing here? You know, I'm sure people came by, and then they find out, Noah says, "Hey, there's going to be a flood, and that's why I'm building this huge boat, because it's going to cover the entire world." Now, that would seem pretty far-fetched, wouldn't it? Especially for a culture that had never seen rain. And so, and he tells them this, and they're going, "Are you? That guy has flipped. That guy has flipped. And they mocked him, perhaps, and questioned him, and probably laughed. And as we know, every single person rejected the message. Every person rejected the message. It says, by faith, he condemned the world. Because what was he saying? I'm building this boat, and it's big, because I want all of you to get on it and be saved. And if you don't, you're going to die, because God is going to flood the world because of wickedness. He was a preacher of righteousness, so he was obviously striking a chord with them about their behavior, about their attitudes, you know, whatever it may be. You see, why do people reject us? Our faith. Our faith is a judgment on others. When we share the gospel, people are faced with their own inadequacy. That's why we're offensive. It's not that we're self-righteous. I mean, and there are Christians that are, and it's bad when they are. We you know, we're sinners too, and we always got to remember that. You know, don't ever forget where you came from. Don't ever forget what you were before God got a hold of you. And really, don't even forget who you still are, even after God got a hold of you. Because we all got, we're not perfect yet, are we? We still screw up. But we need to remember. And so it's not that we are self-righteous, and it's not about finding fault with everyone else. Oh, you're one of those Christians, yeah. You're the only ones going to heaven, and, you know, because you're good, and we're, you know, it's not about finding fault with others. It's because the truth of what we believe and the truth of who we are as God's people, it causes people to face who they are. It causes them to recognize their brokenness and their need of a Savior. And they don't like to think they need a Savior. You know, leading someone to the Lord is the easiest thing in the world. The hard part is getting them to recognize they need saving. That's what's hard about it, because people think they're okay. I'm a good person. I'm good. You got to get them lost before you can get them saved. And they don't think they are. I've had people tell me, hey, I'm okay. I'm okay with God. And I'm looking at their works. I'm looking at, you know, I can't know their heart, and I'm not trying to judge them, but I'm saying, but what I'm seeing doesn't indicate that you're okay. God said what? Don't judge, lest you be judged. But he said also, you can inspect their fruit. You can see their fruit. You will know them by their fruit. If there's no fruit, that's a little bit of a red flag. Where's the fruit? And when we share, you know, our gospel's hard to hear. If you reject Jesus Christ, you will spend forever in hell. And it's not a place where your friends will be drinking and partying. It may be a place where your friends will be, but you won't be partying. You'll be separated from God forever. The Bible says in torment. And that offends people. And people don't want to hear that. And when we tell them that, they don't want to believe it, and they reject it. Just as Noah shared the truth with the condemned, so must we. And it's not about judging them. It's about giving them truth. And they will make up their own mind. They will choose. And you're not responsible for that. And it's not about how good you are or anything else. It's about you giving truth to a lost and dying world. And that's what Noah did. He witnessed. He witnessed. He was rewarded, though. You know, God's a rewarder. He doesn't just say, do it because I'm God. I mean, he could operate that way. He's certainly entitled to do that if he wanted to. But he doesn't. He says, you know what? Man, when you serve me and let me lead you, there's great reward. There's great benefit to you. And he says he became an heir of the righteousness that comes by faith. Do you understand the whole world was condemned? And do you understand that even Noah was condemned? Think about it. If Noah hadn't obeyed God, you ever stop and consider that? If he said, hey, you know what, God? I mean, I believe in you. I believe in you, but man, you're telling me to build this boat. It's really big. People are making fun of me. And if he hadn't built it and got on it, he would have died too. You understand? He was condemned too. But because of his faith, and he believed God, he is the first guy. I've never saw this before, but he's the first guy that was called righteous. And now think about this. Enoch was before him, and Enoch, it said, walked with God, and God took him. We talked about that last week. But God never said he was righteous. But in Genesis, God said Noah was righteous. And that's the first place in Scripture that we see God call somebody righteous. He was the first to be called righteous, and he and his family were saved. Remember just two verses back, Hebrews 11:6. Now, without faith, it is impossible to please God, for the one who draws near to him must believe. Remember we talked about it? That he exists. First of all, that he really exists. And second of all, he rewards those who seek him. And Noah walked with God, and he believed God. He believed that God actually existed, and he believed that God meant what he said when he said he was going to destroy the world with a flood. And he believed God when God said, you need to build a boat, the biggest boat. You know, you realize there was never a bigger ship built until like 1940-something when they built the first giant battleship. That was the first ship ever built bigger than the Ark. It was like in the 1900s. Man, what an undertaking that was. But he believed God. And you know what? Because of his belief, he was saved. And it doesn't change for us, does it? We got to believe that there's a judgment, that there's a flood coming, if you will. And we either get on board or we don't. And you can know this Bible inside and out. You can say you know God and you can believe there's a God, but if you don't get on board with Jesus Christ, you are not saved. Just as God rewarded Noah because of his faith, so are we. Because of our faith. Not our works. Our faith. Yeah, was there work involved? Because of Noah's faith, he believed his faith in God. What God tells me is true. He's going to flood the world. I better build this boat. His work reflected his faith. And he shared his faith with all those people. And when you get a load of how big that ship was, ton of people could have got on that thing and been saved. And you say, well, they could have never put enough food on there. Well, all Jesus needed was 5 fish, 2 loaves of bread to feed 5,000 men plus all the women and children that were there, right? I think he could have handled a few million people or however many people could get on that boat. I don't know. I'm sure he could have made the food stretch. You know, people get caught up in the logistics of everything and they kind of forget that our God is a God of miracles. And I think sometimes we forget it as well. Oh, you want me to do this? You want me to speak to this person? You want me to work in this area? Oh, man, I don't know. Well, God's a God of miracles. It's not you. As soon as you get involved, you got a problem. You let Him be involved. His power through you. But He does reward. And what's our reward? Wow. I mean, He blesses you in this life and He blesses you in the next. It doesn't get any better than that. Is this life hard sometimes? Absolutely. I can look at everyone here and I know something. I know something is in your life that you'd rather not be there. That it would be different in some way. So yeah, there's those things. But man, the blessing of forgiveness and restoration and reconciliation, and to be able to serve the God that loved you that much that He sent His Son, it's there's great reward in that. A Christian's calling is twofold. We are to serve God, and at the same time, we are to be witnesses for Him. We're to serve Him, but we're also to share Him with others. Unfortunately, we often get so busy in our service and in our lives that we fail to see the many opportunities God provides for us to share our faith with others. You know, there's no accidental meetings. Oh, I just happened to run into this guy. No, you didn't. From your perspective, you happened to run into him, but from God's perspective, that was on purpose. Because that's my child, and I'm going to cause my child. I am going to set this up so that my child will run into this person because I know he's got something to say. Remember, God chooses to use us. So I wrote you a little prayer. A little prayer to pray. Lord, help me to be mindful of Your divine appointments for me with the lost. Their situation is desperate, for judgment is coming, but I have the words of life. They're God's words, but you have them. He's entrusted His word to you to share. Do you really believe judgment is coming? You know, Christians all, you know, whatever your perspective of end time theology is, I mean, there's a ton of it out there, and Christians like to argue pre-trib, post-trib, mid-trib, bommel, you know, all that millennial stuff. I mean, there's a lot of stuff out there. But can you agree that judgment's coming? Can you agree that there's going to come a time when no more people will be saved? I mean, the window of opportunity will be over, and there will be a heaven and a hell. You have the words of life. Jesus Christ came, lived, died, rose again in triumph. And you place your faith and trust in Him. The penalty for our sin was placed on Him. And you accept that. And you ask God to forgive you. And you know what? He will. He will. And that's the message we have. Those are the words of life. Because if you're born twice, you only die once. But if you're only born once, you're going to die twice. And that second death is not good, folks. And we either believe it or we don't. We either share it or we don't. Help me. Help me to be mindful of when God is setting me up with someone to share his word. Because God's not willing that any be lost. He wants everyone to have faith and trust in Christ. So let's make sure that we witness while we work, because the consequences as well as the rewards are eternal. They're eternal. They don't ever end. They go on. That's the hardest thing I have to grasp about hell, is that it never ends. I have a hard time grasping that. I mean, I could see, okay, they'll be in misery and agony for 1,000 years and then it's over. I could grasp that. But that's not what the Bible teaches. It's forever. So it is really important, folks, that we're obedient, that we witness while we work. Are you on the ark? Hope you are. Because that's what the ark is. It's just a picture of salvation. The ark is Jesus Christ, folks. The ark is Jesus Christ. It's a picture of salvation. You place your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, you will be saved. If you don't, you won't. It is just that simple. It is just that simple. That's the words of life. But you know what? They're words of life, but they are also words of death at the same time. Because the narrow path, you know, what does the Bible say? There's a gate, two gates, one's narrow. There's only one way. The other gate is wide and many go in, the Bible says. So are you on the ark? There may be someone here today that, you know what, you may say to yourself, I have never trusted Jesus Christ. I've never, you know, I'm telling you to believe God. Don't believe me. Believe those verses, what I showed you. Judgment's coming. This world is ending. Maybe in my lifetime, maybe not. Maybe in your lifetime, maybe not. But it is ending. And one day there will be a new heaven, a new earth that will be perfect. There will be no sin. And there will also be a hell, a lake of fire, where everyone that has rejected Christ will be forever. You have heard words of truth today. If you have never trusted in Jesus Christ, now's the time. Now is the time. You don't know if you have tomorrow. You do not know. Now's the time. If you've never done that, you need to think about it and you need to act upon it. For the rest of us, one question: how's your witness? How's your witness? Now, not everybody's Billy Graham. I get that. Not anybody's Billy Graham, for that matter. But you know what? He had his audience and you have yours. Yours may not be in a football field. Yours may be next door, or it may be within your own family. But how's your witness? That's the question we have to ask. You can have every head bowed, every eye closed. Anybody here today would say, Brother Mike, I have never asked, I'm not on the ark. God has revealed it to me that I am not on the ark, and I need to ask Jesus into my life. Anybody like that? I'm just going to put it that simple. I explained it to you. You know what I'm talking about. I don't got to go any further. Anybody like that, slip your hand up. I just want to pray for you. I want to pray for you, and I want to talk to you. Because it's too important. It's too important, because the consequences are eternal. for the rest of us. How's your witness? How's your witness? How many would say, Brother Mike, I need to start being better about sharing what I believe? Anybody like that? I need to be better. I just need to improve. God is showing me. Amen. God bless you. God bless you. Let's remember while we serve, and we work in a lot of areas, not just our service here at the church. I mean, we got families and jobs and responsibilities, and I know, I understand that, and God does too. Okay? He's not asking us to neglect our responsibilities, but you know what? When God brings that person your way, are you willing? Are you willing to just shed a little light, plant a little seed, or water a little in someone's life that God can harvest? Because God, you know, God's the one that saves them, you know. It's not you. Heavenly Father, Lord God, I come before you. And I thank you for the gift of salvation. I thank you for the words of life that are in your book, so clear to be read and understood. I thank you, Lord, for the ark that is Jesus Christ. Help us, Lord. Help us to be humble, but help us to be truthful and mindful of others as we walk through this life. Help us not to miss divine appointments. Help us to be faithful, even as Noah was. In Jesus' name, I ask these things. Amen. This is your time. Whatever God has done in your life right now, whatever He's spoken to your heart, you deal with Him right now. You ask Him to help you be a better witness. If you know you're kind of falling short in that, help, ask Him for courage. Ask Him for the words to say. He'll give them to you. He's faithful. And because He's faithful, we can be faithful. This is your time. You deal with it right now. Father, Lord God, we praise you and thank you for Jesus Christ and the power that is in that name. And Lord God, I pray even now that you would help every one of us be more aware of when you have purposely moved us in a place where we can share your truth in some way. You know, whatever those words are, Lord, you give them to us, Lord, and you give us the courage to say them, that others would hear truth and have the opportunity to receive Christ. Father, give us strength. Help us, Lord. I pray even now for the event coming this week. I pray, Lord, that you would move on the hearts of people as we gather in that on that field and share your love and your grace and your sacrifice with others. And I pray, Lord, that you would have a mighty harvest, that there would be fruit as a result of the work that we do through our witness. And I ask this, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.